Hello, this is Dr. Kathy Forty, and today's date is May 1st, 2017. Today's interview is going to be part two of an interview I first did with visionary timeline reader, intuitive, and author E.M. Nicolay that I did on April 13th of this year. In that interview, Nicolay looked at the most probable timeline threads with regard to the U.S., Russia, Syria, from both a spiritual and an evolutionary perspective. We heard how the universal dimensional timelines show there will be most definitely a World War III, and we learned about the workings that are occurring behind the scenes concerning all parties. Well, it was an extremely enlightening interview and had a few surprises about how not all is what it seems or not all is true about what we are being told. After that interview, many listeners asked about what the cosmic timelines were showing for the U.S. regarding China, Japan, North Korea, the Asian countries. And these are some of the issues Nicolay will be looking at today. But before I begin, I'd like to say that I've known Nicolay, who I'll refer to as Gene in this interview. I've known him for over 25 years. He first came to my attention as a therapist when I was working with some very difficult patients years back. I learned he had worked with other psychologists and looking behind the scenes at the individual's soul plan to see, you know, how best to move the patient through their conflict. And I was working with him was very successful. He never wanted to know anything about the patient, only their name, and that he had their permission to look at their soul records. Well, he became a valuable therapy source. And while Gene has written several books on the universal dimensions, ascension, and timeline reading, which you can all access through his website, essencepath.com, he has mainly tried to stay behind the scenes, avoiding public appearances, fame, monetary gain, even though he has been approached by several government and private organizations to look at the future for them. While I'm going to preference that it's best not to get caught up in the drama of what is being played out on the world stage right now, or what you're hearing in these interviews or about to hear, knowing this information may be very helpful in understanding and navigating this time which mankind is now going through. To learn where all this is going and why, let me welcome back our guest for another look into the future, E.M. Nicolay. So I'm going to say, hi, Gene. Welcome back.
Hi, Kathy. It's great to be with you again.
Well, Gene, the topic today is really the Asian influence in everything that's kind of going on right now. And I thought, what better, you know, I don't think many people have really kind of looked at this, and I know you have. So just to delve right in there, what are you seeing from the most probable, the strongest timelines of showing what is going to happen in the future?
Well, I guess the first thing that we can talk about is that nothing is disconnected. Everything that is happening on the timeline has a connection to pretty much everything else. Now, we've talked about already World War III, even though it's not called World War III, and what is transpiring in the Middle East and what actually will ultimately transpire. And what is happening in Asia is also connected to this. And it gets pretty complex, so I'm going to try and put it a little bit in perspective if I can for everyone. But just the first thing to note are the amazing connections that there really are, karmic and otherwise. I guess the best thing we can do is back up and talk about the fact that prior to the current administration and prior to the current problems that are happening, China has used Korea, North Korea in particular, almost as its pit bull. And it's used North Korea in a way that every time it wanted to scare the world and every time it wanted to intimidate someone, it would kind of poke its pit bull so that the pit bull would growl and bark and scare everyone in the neighborhood. And so what was happening in the past and prior to the current administration was the fact that China, which is really their historic intention and continues to be their intention on the timeline, particularly at a time where the energy in the world is now focused in Asia and has really moved from east to west and has actually moved over to the Asian realm, China has really looked to carry a heavy influence on countries such as Korea, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, the Indonesias, the area of Singapore and the Malay Peninsula, and even to an extent Australia. And what had happened under the Obama administration, from what appears when remote viewing it, was that there actually was a great deal of conflict between the Chinese trying to having influence in the Pacific Rim and Asia, and the American efforts to try and shore up the American influence in that part of the world. And we've talked about in the past, and it's actually part of the book that we talked about, in terms of the ability that governments have now, which is a secret weapon, but the weaponization of not only the weather, but of natural occurrences such as earthquakes and volcanoes, tsunamis, and their ability to be able to, through technology, trigger tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and all manner of natural disasters. And much of what you saw in the past in terms of tsunamis taking place in Asia were very much related to Chinese efforts behind the scenes to push back at the Americans, almost as a warning for those countries to fall into line and fall into allowing China to be the sphere of influence. So, hence, you have various earthquakes that have taken place, the tsunami, potentially even the tsunami that caused Fukushima, being a real effort and a real kind of behind-the-scenes war, cultural, political, and otherwise, against American influence. Now, fast forward to what's happening currently. And when we remote view it and take a look at it, you really could call what is happening with the current administration the art of the deal. And that is very much related to the current administration and the fact that when you take a look at it, there are many, many things happening behind the scenes in terms of deal-making that are not apparent and that have not come to the surface as yet. And so we talked about last time in terms of the potential that shows up on the timeline. If you're talking details, and again, we don't really necessarily have to look at the details because we try and look at the big picture as much as we possibly can. But if you do look at the details, we talked last time about the possibility and the probability and the likelihood, as seen on the timeline, of the current administration making behind-the-scenes deals in terms of, you let me do this, and I'll do that, and I will then come in and be a hero, and in exchange, I'm going to let you have this. Mm-hmm. Now, this is also since this is sort of very much related to the current administration and the current president in terms of the mindset. I think a lot of people really underestimated when they said, I'm sure you heard all through the campaign, well, we need a businessman as the head of our government because, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to run companies. I think what people didn't realize is that he knows how to make deals, and that is absolutely true. But he knows how to make deals that are like a businessman would make. You wash my back, I'll wash yours. You do this, and I'll throw this guy under the bus. And this is precisely what's happening right now. So, back in terms of North Korea. When we took a look at it, and we look at it going forward, you have the past being China wanting to create this sphere of influence very strongly in the Pacific Rim, taking up the slack and pushing out American and Western influence. And now you have an administration coming in with a deal maker who comes in and makes a deal. And what's the deal? What shows up is that the deal is related to you let me look like a hero and like a big shot. You let me take out this particular person, and I will allow you to have a greater input and a greater sphere of influence. And in exchange, you will just back off and let me do it. And then when the dust settles, you'll come in and you'll fix this and you'll fix that. And oh, if there's possibly something that happens in South Korea caused by North Korea because we do something there, well, guess who's going to fix it and who will economically benefit from it? You can come in and you can have the influence, et cetera, et cetera. So first order of the day is you have this deal making that's happening from behind the scenes that what comes up when you take a look at it is that, yes, it's real, and yes, what's happening and the intimidation that's happening is real, but essentially there's already been a deal that's been struck whereby if we take this regime out or if we do something to try and bring the Koreas, well, the real objective when we took a look at it is to bring the two Koreas together. And if we, sort of what they're saying is, if we do this, in exchange for us doing this, you will continue your financial benefit to the United States. We will call a truce. You will be allowed to have great influence in the Pacific Rim. You will be able to come in and fix anything that gets broken in the Koreas when we unify it. And we get to bring our military home. And we get to pull back all of our money and our military from that particular region. And we're going to place it somewhere else. And where are we going to place it? We're going to place it over in the Middle East. And we're going to beef up that side of it that then ultimately on the timeline leads to really true catastrophe with regard to the true start of World War III.
So what you're saying is taking all of our mm-hmm. many troops out of South mm-hmm. Korea, mm-hmm. the yes. deal would be to unite North yes. and South Korea, you yes. know, for the benefit of mm-hmm. Trump looking good and the China getting their influence in the area, and then to recap it, to bring them all into the Middle East to escalate.
Essentially, yes, and that's what shows up on the timeline. Now, in the meantime, when we look back again, talking about the art of the deal, when you look back at what was some of the agreements that were made and some of the behind-the-scenes working with respect to, you know, you let us come into Syria and look like heroes, and you pretend that you're very upset about it and that it's all awful, but if you let us do this and nothing happens, then we will turn a blind eye to what is happening in Crimea, and we'll start to not talk about that anymore.
I guess this is the whole thing of having your chocolate cake and eating it too, huh?
Essentially, but when you look at it from the broader picture of what's actually happening, all of this is putting things in play and putting the pieces on the chessboard that ultimately draw you right into global conflict, which is exactly where we're going. Now, ultimately, what that does, according to the timeline, is for a temporary time, it takes away American influence in the Pacific Rim and in Asia, so that the Chinese come in. Meanwhile, the Chinese are still able to are still working in U.S. dollars, are still buying the debt of America, okay, and are not going to threaten the whole original thing, which this is all based on, of the U.S. petrodollar. And the reason for that is that, and the reason why now the next sort of stage of this whole entire thing on the timeline comes up as really preventing the Russians and the Iranians and anyone else in the Middle East from actually being able to move away from the U.S. petrodollar, which would ultimately collapse the dollar and the economy of the United States.
Without the petrodollar, we don't have any money for our military or our wars. So yes,
absolutely, and that would that would collapse the whole system, the current system. So if you look at it from the higher standpoint, the effort is really towards keeping that in play and keeping the Russians from developing their own system and not having other people buy into a system other than the U.S. petrodollar, which is the reason why currently there is such a new energy focus in terms of where the attention is turned and going to be turned shortly to the Middle East.
But I thought China and Russia were pretty much dumping U.S. Treasury bonds and setting up for gold standard.
Precisely.
So you're saying that's all going to be undone?
No, but what I'm saying is that they were doing that, and that is the reason for the current things that are happening behind the scenes. Hmm. So what have they done? They've negotiated with China behind the scenes to take China out of the picture, at least temporarily. Mm-hmm. And they've done that by sort of allowing them an in without firing a shot, saying, look, you keep up with this and you support us. Even it's still, they're still going to act like they're mad and everything else. That's fine, but that's not reality. But basically, you let us do this, and we will then go after the Russians, who really are still creating their own system. Do you see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it buys them temporary time.
I'm curious about, is North Korea complicit in this as well, or are they just being manipulated?
They're more or less being manipulated. I mean, they really are, when we took a look at it, the pit bull pet of the Chinese government. And apparently, when we took a look at it, always have been. And so they are essentially being manipulated at this particular point. But, I'll tell you what comes up. And again, this is not to frighten anyone. This is really strictly to kind of give you an idea of what's happening from behind the scenes and from a higher perspective. Again, going back to our original conversation of this is happening in order to really, on the timeline, create this very heavy-handed opportunity in the third dimension for these younger souls to actually have karma and to have conflict, which is the way that their particular souls actually grow. And it is what is on the timeline that further leads to the ultimate collapse of the United States down the line.
I know we talked about, you know, United States Civil War, any time, between to, I guess, between in the 2020s or so forth like that. Between, you know, the end of this decade and the next. Mm-hmm. And have any of that been through nuclear war?
So, you know, a lot of this is difficult to talk about because it can get out of context.
Because I know a lot of people out there, you know, are always concerned about, you know, is North Korea going to, you know, shoot off a missile to either one of our coasts and, you know,
well, like that. I don't see that, and I have not seen that at all.
You're not seeing that on the timeline.
No, and what I was going to say before and what we can get back to is the fact that there is a conflict that develops, certainly. What it does appear when you take a look at it is that there will be some kind of a strike ultimately against North Korea. North Korea will ultimately retaliate, but the furthest that they get is South Korea. Now, this doesn't bode well for South Korea. I did not see a full blown nuclear attack. But I did see damage, and I did see a limited, controlled attack, and much of this is being controlled. So we need to bear in mind that a good deal of this is ultimately being controlled by the United States and by China so that it can be limited, and it's more or less of a controlled attack. And again, going back to the fact that ultimately the objective there is to unify North and South Korea down the line and allowing the Americans to say, oh, well, you don't need us anymore, so we can leave, because now the country has been unified and we've done what we needed to do. And in the meantime, China, that, you know, is standing there ready to come in with money and engineers and projects and rebuild whatever damage was done, not only in North Korea, but in South Korea as well. Do you see what I mean?
So actually, by the U.S. deal-making in this respect, mm-hmm. they're creating what has always been foretold as the great Eurasian powers, the buildup of the great Eurasian powers.
Yes, ultimately that is the case. I think what they don't count on in terms of their, you know, where they currently stand in their perspective is, and then this gets back to what ultimately will happen in the United States, I don't think that they count on the fact that once the energy shifts to the Middle East again, and once we are talking full-fledged conflict there, whether it comes through the, you know, the Syrian issue, which it currently appears to, or we're talking about the conflicts with Russia and Iran, ultimately that is going to generate the conflict that in the long term will bankrupt the United States. And when you have to tie this in to then what else sort of comes up on the timeline, and when you see that there is economic crisis, there's an economic setback that happens on the timeline at some point in 2017. There is, and that one appears to be similar, perhaps not intense, but it could be just as intense as what happened in 2008-2009.
So period. You're talking about a recession.
And we're talking more about a recession of some kind that does come up, and it still comes up, and it has for a long time now. But the real collapse of the dollar and the collapse of the American economy does not happen until 2019. When that happens, you have to imagine, you know, you're in 2019, you take a look at it, you see all kinds of conflict happening that's actual out-and-out conflict happening now in the Middle East. The dollar has collapsed. Russia is using its new system instead of petrodollars, and lots of people are trying to buy into it. In a certain sense, this unfolds into ultimately what will be the bankrupting of the U.S. federal government. Now, that takes place over the course of, let's say, what we'll call World War III. And World War III essentially, even though it hasn't been cleared, it actually started. You know, you could go as far as saying that World War III started in 2001 with regard to the Twin Towers. But whatever you want to call it, the conflict is ongoing and really intensifies to the point where you really could say that there is a world war happening between roughly, really even this starting this year, and definitely 2025. By the towards the end of that, by 2023, 2024, 2025, the federal government in the U.S. does appear to be in a lot of difficulty, and facing bankruptcy, facing real demise. As a result, starting in the early 20s, and you see it happening even right now, and this is the reason why it's happening, you see the federal government and the people in charge, even the current administration, attempting to give back power to the U.S. states. We're not going to spend this money. We're going to give it back to you. We want you take care of it. We're not going to do this. You do it. And
you're
this
always
will
seeing the shades of that with education policy.
You're seeing the beginning of it, and you're going to see it really, it's going to emerge really in a gigantic way after this full conflict starts. And as that happens, and as the states start to get sort of burdened with the bulk of what the federal government had been doing, and the federal government says, well, we're too busy with this war and with this problems and with the rest of the world, so we really can't afford to do anything, and we're giving everything back to the states start to pick up the slack because they have no choice. And that's where you start to have the demise of the U.S. federal government, and the states becoming, some becoming very prosperous and very strong, some becoming very weak and very poor and really having real problems. And ultimately, since we're now talking about the sort of the basis of what does become the Civil War, the second U.S. Civil War, at the point where after this great conflict in the world is over, and the federal government essentially is there only in name and has essentially lost this war and has failed, you also then have states, some of whom have prospered, such as California, such as the West Coast Union, such as, you know, New England, such as the areas around Chicago, such as areas in Texas, and such as areas in southern Florida, and some other pockets elsewhere, you have those states decide, well, we need to quickly get together and we need to regionalize and we need to form governments our own and we need to form militias and we need to do what's necessary to protect ourselves because obviously the federal government is collapsing and we need to take up the slack. As that happens, what then starts to transpire, and now we're into the 2024 to 2030 period, what comes up is that those prosperous areas will create unions, almost like countries, and they will have treaties with other countries, and they will have their own military, and they will have their own borders. And as that happens, you will have regions of the country that have bonded together, that have created borders, have created essentially, and for all intents and purposes, regional countries. And you will have them alongside some places that are essentially poverty-stricken, where famine has set in, where there is really no economic growth. And it's at that particular point that you start to have the real problem that leads to civil war. And civil war is kind of an interesting word. I don't know that I would even term it, from looking at it on the timeline, as an out-and-out or as a real civil war. But what I would say is that how this appears on the timeline and how this comes up is that these areas where that are prosperous will have borders and they will start to close their borders. because the refugees coming from much poorer areas of the United States and states that were not prepared for this will ultimately spawn refugees. And these refugees will want to go to the prosperous areas. But now you're not talking about a continent of that is one country anymore. You're talking about regions that have formed territories and borders. So they will not allow the refugees to actually come in. That is where, that's really the heart of where the what we can call the Second Civil War begins, because as those poor states and those refugees from those poor states are not able to get into the more prosperous states any longer, they form what could only be called bands of bandits, and they form their own militias, and they essentially start to raid the more prosperous areas. And so in that particular respect, it does become a kind of civil war where those who are living and have been in states where there's famine and no money and everything has, and all services have been cut and everything has fallen apart, will attempt to raid those places that are much more prosperous. And that then creates the problem that really essentially is a civil war. And it's interesting how this actually gets figured out, because after when this starts to happen, not only will those different areas and the bandits and the various, you know, tribal organizations that are in those areas, not only will they attempt to break into and kind of start small wars with regions that are more prosperous, they will start to spill over into Canada, and they will start to spill over into Mexico. That's when there's real problems, because and now you have to bear in mind, we're talking about this over then many, many years. We're talking about this transpiring, you know, from the 20, you know, even the 20, sort of 27, 20, 30 period for at least a decade, to, you know, roughly the 2040 period. We're talking about this taking place, and once they spill over into areas that have formed treaties with or have treaties with Russia and China, that's where there's problems, because when they start raiding into Canada, when they start raids across the border into the, let's say, the Pacific Union, and the Pacific Union and Canada both have a treaty, the Canadians will have a treaty with the Russians, the Pacific Union will have a treaty with the Chinese. Once that happens, you're talking about those areas and those countries essentially calling in their treaty and calling up the Russians and the Chinese and saying, we need someone to come and police what's going on here. And it's at that particular point that those areas of the United States that are not configured and that have not consolidated or formed any kind of a union will ultimately be policed and will be invaded by the Chinese and the Russians in an attempt to actually bring law and order back to the rest of the North American continent.
Will it even be called the United States anymore?
I at that particular point, it would not be. And it's interesting, because when you do take a look at the actual ultimate fall of the federal government, it seems to take place at a point where there are a number of terrorist attacks that are karmic in nature, that are on the heels of World War III, after World War III is over and has been lost. But nonetheless, in Europe,
who actually wins World War III?
Well, unfortunately, not the West.
And well, I gather that's what you were saying.
But this is the problem, because once this takes place, whoever wins the war.
Are you talking about Russia particularly, or what?
Yes, and actually it sets the basis for the Eurasian Enlightenment period that takes place after that. And then also at that particular point, by that time, the Chinese and the Russians will have worked out their any problems that they had. The Chinese will no longer be temporarily tied to the West in terms of the, you know, what we were talking about earlier and the current things with regard to the Pacific influence, and they will join together. So they ultimately come out on top. I mean, you know, when you look at these things, who wins any war, really? I mean, there is no winner, for sure, but there are countries and places that definitely come out better when you're looking at the long term. Now, you know, again, and I always have to get back to this, because the reason we talk about this and the reason why we're trying to highlight it as all is to give an explanation of what's actually going on with regard to the lower vibration, which is related, as we said, to the third dimensional, the collapse of the current timeline and the emergence of a very strong third dimensional timeline that has the lower vibration of third dimension, while all of those who are of a higher consciousness and of a higher dimensional resonance will be banding together, and probably after the current incarnations be ascending to higher dimensional versions of Earth that we've talked about. So the worst thing that you can do, and we get this question a lot, is to get caught up in the minutiae and to get caught up in the details of what is actually happening, but try and understand that there is something that is happening. It might not necessarily be to our liking, but it is creating a world through ascension and through evolution that for a short period of time, those of a higher consciousness and those of a lower consciousness are living together in side by side. The younger souls and lower vibrational consciousness loves revenge, loves karma, loves opportunities to grow through hitting each other and fighting and arguing and famine and all of the things that come with it that essentially these kinds of events in the world create. So it creates opportunities for these younger souls to actually learn that they wouldn't necessarily learn otherwise. As an example, you know, it's one thing to, you're a younger soul and you come into the lifetime and you want to learn about starvation. Well, you know, it would be pretty hard to be born in the middle of L.A. or New York in today, you know, in right now, in this specific society. And, yeah, you definitely, there are people who are starving, but there are opportunities for you to eat, and it would be hard for you to find, you'd be hard-pressed to find the opportunity. Whereas, 1, 2, 3, there's a war, the stores are closed, and within 6 weeks, you're starving.
So you have to look at it that all higher consciousness souls have agreed to be part of this drama, this play, to help younger consciousness souls learn. Yes. It's sort of like that old saying, to awaken oneself, one must awaken all beings.
Yes, that's
and,
precisely right.
You know, yes. So we have to kind of tolerate in some way what seems like uncomfortableness in this process of bringing these some of the younger souls up to where, you know, they desire to be.
That's exactly right. And this is how they learn. Older souls don't need to learn that way. It's like older souls learn more through self-karma and through self-introspection. Younger souls don't. It's all through mass consciousness. It's all through, you know, I beat you up and then you beat me up and then we learn and we grow from that so that, you know, at another time we don't have to beat each other up anymore. But the one thing that's really important also is, you know, a lot of people ask, well, you know, how do I avoid this? And I'm scared and I'm feeling And that's really key because you have to understand that when this is happening, if you are of a higher consciousness, you have a great responsibility to understand that fear is the deadener, that fear is actually a vibrational resonance that will drag you down, will drag down your consciousness, and will then attract to you the thing that you fear. So when you start to get fearful that all of this is happening, you're dragged down and you're dragged into it, and it's at that particular point that you're inviting it into your life. If you can keep your resonance, keep your standing, keep your grounding, and understand what is happening and that there are specific reasons and that you really need to be true to yourself and to keep your vibrational frequency high, you then no longer need that particular lesson or that particular test or that particular opportunity for growth. It's just unnecessary. You don't need it anymore. And that's how you can ride past it. So, and I keep saying also, and I want to stress, take a look at it from a global standpoint, particularly looking at it on a timeline. I've said it many times. There are places that prosper. There are places that do wonderfully. There are places like Hawaii that comes into its own. Hawaii basically becomes, over the course of the next century, a mecca, almost a Monaco, it becomes actually a banking center, a world global banking center, very much.
Is that
sort
because
of like
they're
a,
isolated from the
very, very much
the
so,
main,
but
the mainland?
Yes, exactly. And then there's also the karmic issue. Because, and I don't know the history that well, but I do know what I've looked at in terms of looking at what happens. Karmically, Hawaii was raped by, I'd have to say, in terms of the Hawaiian people, by the colonists from the United States. In fact, even to this day, there are American Indian tribes who have more rights in Congress than the Hawaiian people. So when you look at it from a karmic standpoint, Hawaii then sort of loses that shackle and becomes this prosperous place that's a cross between Switzerland and Monaco. You kind of start to see how this happens. But my point here really is that there are places in the world where higher resonance and higher vibrational consciousness will continue to exist, and we will all be called to those places if our guidance is allowed, if our guidance can get through, and if we can maintain a higher vibrational resonance and not fall into the pit of fear that is being generated all around us by younger souls, by those even by those alien souls who would like to do so in order to kind of commandeer this ascension process and
because the fear mongers out there, one of the byproducts of fear is anger, and then people start doing things violent, getting violent, and acting out, and so forth like that. So it's sort of like kind of step yourself back away from that. That's why I figure when you kind of know what the greater plan, and you can look at it and you can navigate it more easily, I've always found that alleviates any need to fear the unknown, because this is all being worked out for a reason, and those that will be led to a place will find themselves there. I hear many people talking now of moving to other areas of the world, and mm-hmm. I kind of smile to myself knowing that their inner guidance is leading them there, and they may not always know why.
That is exactly like, and I've been saying that like-minded people will begin now, and you will see it in an enormous way over the next couple of years, will start to find their way. I overheard a conversation the other day that I was actually amazed at in Pennsylvania with people who are professionals sitting at a table talking, and the couple was saying, we don't understand what has happened. We have lived here for 40 years. We had we thought the nicest neighbors in the world. We got along with everybody. And all of a sudden, we're hearing all about their politics. We're hearing that they are just the most odious, awful people. how did we live here for 40 years? We have no idea. We were in complete ignorance and bliss. And what they don't really realize is that what's happening is they're being guided, and like-minded needs to find like-minded now, and they are being guided to go and find like-minded people. And the way that they're being guided is that they're being shown that the people who are around them are not the people that they thought that they were.
So the shadow side is coming out, mm-hmm. as more light is being shown mm-hmm. on the situation. Mm-hmm. People yes. are seeing the darker sides of people, you know, that maybe they just had blinders on before.
I think that's the case, and I think also that people no longer need to be in certain situations, and that energetically they have raised their vibration to a point where now they see the truth. You know, the truth is becoming clear. And whereas it might not have been before, and they were perfectly, you know, ignorance is bliss, and they were perfectly content, and they lived their lives, suddenly the truth is being revealed, and they can no longer live with themselves in that particular way. And you know, it's not a bad thing. And it goes back to what we were saying about your vibrational resonance. If you vibrate fear with regard to what's happening, you attract that as a test to yourself. It's almost as if it's a request that the universe provides you with what you fear so that you can overcome it. If you don't fear it, and if you are able to consciously recognize and go around it or through it, you have no need for the test. There's no need for you to have that test or have that, what I'm going to call, opportunity for growth. And at that particular point, it all just goes away and dissipates, and you will find yourself exactly where you need to be in an area that will protect you.
All right, let's move to Europe, because something's been on the horizon here mm-hmm. for a while, and I don't think most people in the news have really been keyed into this, that we may have another Balkan situation, you mm-hmm. know, happening mm-hmm. again, with the Prime Minister of Albania threatening war if Kosovo is denied entry into the European Union. And, of course, the European Union doesn't want to admit Kosovo or Bosnia because both have, you know, undemocratic and ruled by thugs and violence and mm-hmm. heroin, you know, trade and other, you know, things like that. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. I'm wondering, is this one of the triggers of World War III, something we didn't even see on the horizon, most of us?
You know, it's hard to talk about a trigger of World War III. Because World War III
is already
going.
It's already going.
That's why I'm saying all you're seeing happening ultimately is, in a certain sense, everyone getting into the act. And because it's ongoing, it's happening. But from everything that I've ever witnessed in terms of remote viewing on the timeline, the real ignition takes place in Syria, Lebanon, and then with respect to Iran, Russia, China, and the United States. And so the things that you see happening currently are very much related to that. The other things are all peripheral, such as what we talked about already in terms of Crimea. You know, the deal-making that's going on, which really is interesting because I'm sure they think that it's for the long run, whereas when you look on the timeline, you recognize how temporary these things actually are. But, you know, the deal making that's happening behind the scenes of, you know, well, you know, you be good cop, I'll be bad cop, or I'll be bad cop, you be good cop, and you'll complain and act like you hate me, and then, you know, no one will be the wiser, and in the meantime, I won't say anything when you do this, I'll just turn a blind eye, and then you let me do this, and I'll look like a hero, and I'll look wonderful. And I think that people are not recognizing that mode of operation, which is, when you actually think about it, it's a very corporate way to maneuver. I think a lot of people aren't realizing, I mean, if you want to look at the Middle East in terms of influence and in terms of what's happening, there is very much a competition between, you know, the Chinese, the Russians, and the United States, to say the least, if not everyone, to have pipelines going every which way. the Chinese would like to have, you know, overland access to Europe. The Russians would like to have a pipeline that goes, I believe, straight through Syria. Americans would also like the pipeline to come through Iraq and on and on and on. Whatever the case might be, you see all these behind-the-scenes things happening when you look at it that are ultimately, when you boil them down, related to the fact that there is the physical system lords are in place, that they are actually orchestrating things behind the scenes that ultimately will create this vehicle of, quote, growth and opportunities of growth via very devastating and challenging situations, granted, but via those challenging situations for younger souls. And when you take a look at the world today, you see an incredible proliferation of population in various countries, particularly in the third world, and that is precisely because those souls that are coming in are younger souls who are coming into the lifetime to be in the third dimension. They will continue on in this third dimension for however long, until the next ascension period, essentially, or technically until the reset that happens, which we haven't talked about. But ultimately, that is what's happening while those of a higher vibrational resonance are getting ready to ascend over the course of the coming 150, 200 years and will ascend to a fifth dimensional Earth that is known as Terra. And in the meantime, for a lifetime, two, maybe three, there will be some souls who are of a higher consciousness and resonance who will still be in the third dimension, preparing themselves to cycle off while there is this great influx of souls from the second dimension and lower dimensions graduating and ascending to incarnations in the third dimension.
What can we expect for Europe? Is the EU Union going to break up?
I have not looked at that.
I know, I'm just throwing
really
that out there,
that
but,
we probably,
you know, it's sort of, yeah.
It's probably something we should look at, but there is a reason why we haven't looked at it, because we have looked at Europe, certainly.
Yeah, I know you said that there would be some nuclear weapon used in Europe. You said this earlier, I think it was either Rome or Paris or something like that, and, you know, you never said who was the one that perpetrated the nuclear attack, but...
It goes back to, when we take a look at it, and this goes back to what I was saying, that actually also happens in the United States, but to a lesser degree, Europe actually does have a great deal of difficulty after the conflict is, well, after the use of nuclear weapons in the Middle East and after all the fallout that happens there, Europe is pretty much devastated. And then after the war is essentially over, there are, limited nukes or suitcase nukes that terrorists, in an act of revenge, actually smuggle into Europe and as well as the United States, Europe first. That turns out to be devastating. The ones that I saw in particular, that devastates Rome, that devastates Paris. There is one other one that is in Germany, and I don't recall which it is. We'd have to look at it again, but that devastation then sort of sets Europe back into the Dark Ages, where there is just a complete breakup, and where really essentially people go behind the city walls again and are afraid to come out. And that same thing happens in the United States. And we were talking also, and I don't know if we finished that conversation, about what actually happens with the U.S. federal government. Every time we look at it on the timeline, the federal government then goes behind walls as well, and ultimately, it attempts to keep a semblance of order. It also, as it's falling apart, especially in 2024, and this is very important, they will utilize many of the weapons that they shouldn't, particularly with regard
to the weather
ones,
modification.
Yes,
or the,
exactly, and
the false earthquake ones.
Yes, exactly, and they will use those in a big way that ultimately will cause a great many natural disasters in the United States in an attempt to keep the states from breaking up and to keep them from, going out on their own. In particular, I'm going to mention the potential of one that comes up on the timeline in about 2024 in California.
And you're saying that's not going to be a natural earthquake?
It's not going to be a natural earthquake. It will be orchestrated. Also something that takes place in the, I believe it's called the New Madrid fault line, that further than triggers something else in the Great Cauldron that is Yosemite and Yellowstone. And so those particular areas will have a real problem, and they appear to be what I'm going to call the last hurrah of the federal government trying to terrorize people in order to keep control of the country. But at that particular point, people will know what's happening, and it won't work. And then immediately after that, there are those the potential from what we saw of the suitcase nukes, and in particular a very devastating problem with regard to Washington. Unfortunately, when that happens, then even without formal declaration, at that particular point, the states are on their own. From what we saw.
Wow, so we've got quite a chaotic time ahead, you might say. I know we're trying to all keep our calm and our places in that and so forth, and to distance ourselves from the drama
that is being orchestrated.
But
distancing, not meaning put your head in the ground or be in denial.
I understand.
Be aware of what your truth is. Stand up for what you believe in, but do allow your guidance to guide you, and do be attuned to your guidance. Most importantly, by not going into fear, so that the guidance can get through to you, so that you will then be where you need to be and where you want to be, from your higher self's perspective, for the duration.
Well, that's probably some good words to end on. I know we could keep this going for a long time because there's just so much to cover. But, as often this gives people food for thought and to, as you said, follow your guidance and know that all of this has a greater purpose in hand for why it's happening. So, Gene, thank you so much for, again, offering your time. And until next time, peace.
Thanks.
Okay?
Thanks very much, Kathy.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.